Well, today it's my great pleasure on the 23rd of November, and I have to set the scene, to be sitting on the edge of the water in the port of Sorolla in the lovely company of Maria Frontera, who is the general manager of the Hotel Marina, the iconic building that is known to so many people worldwide. Maria, welcome to Boat Radio.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Maria, you have a family story, and it is a fascinating family story, because you're not really 100% Mallorquin, are you?
No. My mom is Danish, and my father is from Sawyer, and it's such a nice mix.
Because the blonde mix.
No, it's nice, because you have the international things with the local, the mix, and it just came up with that lovely business who started my grandparents, okay? But then my mom, who is Danish, gave her know-how here with the Mallorquin man, which you can imagine, when she arrived here, it was kind of a shock, okay? Because woman didn't work by that time, and she wanted to have her own work and help with the hotel business.
But if we go back, because this hotel has been in this spot for over 80 years, is that correct?
Yeah.
In this spot. Okay. These days, you know, you've got the four stars and you've got so much stuff here. But in those early days, I think they shared bathrooms and it was more of a hostel. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah. By when they started, they have the bathrooms on the hall and they had their own rooms. It was amazing to have hot water. So one of the ads we have at the reception to show the clients when they come in is one that says 12 pesetas per day for the room, and we have hot water. We have a car for if you want to be taken to make an excursion, because they didn't have anything. I mean, it was the hotel here. There was no other one. And they just have, we have the picture with the old car and the tables just here outside. And that was it.
But what about the music and dancing?
Music and dancing, that started later.
Uh-huh.
It was popular because, first of all, my father was a singer. He had a group, so he was playing with that group. So he started with a ballroom on the back of
exactly.
the hotel.
Yeah.
And so many people were coming here, and it was so nice. It was closed by that time on the back. It was not open air like we do on the last years. But that was... He sings like Frank Sinatra. I mean, yeah. We call it Frankie at home. Now he's 81, so the last two years he didn't do it anymore.
But your dad, he's a singer, yeah. But he's also a very good-looking man now. And when he was younger, he probably had his pick of ladies. Is that true?
Yes, of course he had. I have known so many girlfriends that came back at the hotel with the families, and sometimes they come and said, oh, are you the daughter of Miguel? Oh, I remember that. And it's difficult for him to remember all of the ladies and all of the girls, not because all of them were girlfriends, but because so many people came to the hotel and they were having, you know, sharing dinners, lunch, parties, also with my mom, of course. But yes.
Now, when your mum arrived, she was a complete whirlwind, wasn't she? Because she was one of the pioneer reps for Cherbourg.
She was.
And she came here as a young woman and completely turned this resort and most of Mallorca around under the name of Cherbourg. So I think that is about right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true. She was one of the pioneers, and because she was, of course, speaking different languages. And she loved it. She knew all around Mallorca. She was traveling with the guests at that time, doing the excursions, visiting the hotels. She started in Palma de Mallorca, and then she went to Sawyer afterwards. She started in Palma, where it was more, the hotels were building rapidly, and not here, it was not developing so quick. And then she started here. She's very well known in Denmark and other places. I have seen different reports, and also when we have journalists coming here, they want to speak with her because she knows so much about all those years and the history of the tourism.
Well, I mean, I'm one of those journalists that has interviewed your mum, and my story in my head that I really have to talk about is the fact that she was terribly young when she turned up here. I mean, she was a very young rep, and with all those languages, and she just came and lived around the corner here, and suddenly your dad wasn't going out so much with other women. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was correct. He changed his mind when he met her, and it was difficult to catch her too, because she wanted to be or still be independent, and it was really bad seen by the family of my father, so there was a big problem there. I remember that she was telling me that she had to go, she went to Greece because she had an argument with my father, and he went to the travel agency to say, so where is she? Where is she working in Mallorca? And they said, no, she asked to be moved to Greece. And he went, no, I want her back. Like it was his decision, because by that time, you know, you had to have permission for everything. Woman couldn't travel with kids abroad without having the signature of the man. I mean, it was something he thought he could ask.
Well, but he could stop her going anywhere because he was interested.
Okay. Well, at the end, she came back. Result is that they got married, and here we are, three kids and the whole history.
Yeah, indeed. And so, okay, so she brought you your Miguel and Bodil in this wonderful place, and this was your home on the edge of the sea and the marina and the Porto Solio. But you were a rebel. You weren't going to stay here, were you? So what did you do then?
I started my university here in Mallorca, but I wanted to study in English. So at the end, we could convince my father, because my mom was helping me, of course. And I went to Ireland, to England, and I finally went to the States to do my international business. And it was because of the help of my mom. Otherwise, by those times, it was difficult for one to go abroad. Some of us went, but not all of them. Nowadays, it's much more popular for the kids. And of course, TV and internet and everything has given so much information that all of them think this is just here, one step and you could go. But it was nice because I remember I could call on Sundays just to tell them everything is okay, I'm okay. And they were telling me, okay, stop talking because this is a conference call. So that was it. Just, I'm okay. And now I just go Skype or FaceTime with my kids when they are abroad. And it's so nice, so different. Yeah.
So you came back here to give your family your life, did you?
Well, I did too. I was missing so much Sawyer. I mean, you go abroad, you visit so many places. And I always wanted to come back to Sawyer. I started to work in Ultramar Express with a tour operator. And then after some years, I came here to help the business and my father. And I really loved it. I was spending all my summers here as a waitress, as a receptionist. So you have it, you feel it. And it's so nice to know the clients, you know, and they come and you see them coming every year. And you get that feeling, which is so nice. And when they tell you, oh, I want to bring my grandchildren. So they get to know how is Sawyer, because Sawyer is very quiet, which we love that. But some young people sometimes don't like to come with the parents to such a place because this is so quiet. And some years pass by, and then suddenly they want to come. And then they get married, and they have kids, and they remember about Sawyer, and they say, oh, it's a place where I want to come now with my little kids. But there are some years that...
But in your time, Maria, here, I mean, you're the iconic future of this place. But also, you are part of the whole change of the way that the Porto Solio has developed. Because in your memory, you have the hostel that was the marina and shared bathrooms. Then you have the development that your parents made and made it into the next stage, and you're taking it to the next stage, but so are all the other hotels around here. So the people that come for their 6-week summer holiday with their children are just a small part now of what you do. I mean, the rest of the year, who fills your hotel?
Well, You know, nowadays it's nice and fun because you have a commercial mix. I mean, you have, of course, little tour operators that still work with some of the hotels like TUI or Spies, but most of us work with the OTAs, I mean, like Booking and Expedia, all of those. And then we have those small travel agencies that are specialized in hikers, in cyclists, or either yoga groups or detox groups. And we have such a variety of type of guests coming during the whole season. And you can see how it changes depending if it's spring, summer, or autumn, and even winter time. And it's nice because you have different markets, different segments, and you can approach with different things to them. I think all of us are working on that mix nowadays. Before, you know, you were literally tied up with the tour operators, but nowadays you have to have a mix of it. And some of them, the small ones, can even go on their own, just working with maybe Booking or Expedia, but the rest of us have a little mix of everything, which works fine. But you know, in winter time, if you want to be open, you always need to have a base of clients, and you need at least a tour operator or travel agency that helps you, because flight connections are not so well, so you have to have some allies that help you to bring some clients here.
You have a title here as the president of the Hotel Association of Solia. So tell us about that and how you all collectively work together for the good of the resort.
Well, the Hotel Association is one has been working together for so many years here in Solia. My father was also for 10 years the president, something like that, and some others have been giving his effort to the Hotel Association. It is necessary to be associated because, you know, the public administration works for all of us, but sometimes it's not so efficient. So if you can keep an eye, try to coordinate the efforts, try to mix the public and the private together, it works much better than if you go on your own and they go on your own, because at the end we are all tied. So we have to have meetings with the local town hall. We also work with the Federation in Mallorca because we have to have some meetings with the government of the Balearic Islands, and they have the link to the mainland Spain and talk with the one in Madrid. It's very necessary because some of the new taxes or the new ideas they may have some consequences that they don't think at that moment. So you have to show them, explain them, tell them why, or because they could do, I mean, show them other ideas, if they are better or not, and study with them and conclude what is much better for all of us and the residents and the tourists.
So the people that come to the Port of Solia now, particularly in the last few years, will see great changes. I mean, what do you think of the changes that have happened to the infrastructure and the rerouting of the tram and the walkways and the future? I mean, how do you see the future under the new developments?
Well, I think that for the last years, I mean, the last 5 years, depending on when the clients have come and visit Solia, they have seen different things. The ones that have known Solia for many years, they can see the way we try to preserve everything, which is not easy. You know, we have the Sierra de Tramontana, which is the World Heritage by the UNESCO now, and can help us to preserve the mountains, can help maybe the private owners to keep their olivars clean and tight, which is not very easy, and it costs a lot of money. So they can see that there are many things getting on and many new activities, innovations, but still there is a lot of work to do. They can see that how we spent nearly 12 years trying to demolish the old building Rocamar, which was a nightmare for all of us and also the public administration. But at the end, it's done and now it's really clean. Maybe now they don't notice the new ones. It's like the tunnel. For many years, it was complicated. It was an argument, do we do the tunnel, not do the tunnel? And now that it's done, you don't notice, you don't talk anymore, and it's really helpful. But every time we have a new innovation or change, there is always the no, the yes, and you have to be involved to see what is going to be better or not. When we did the first line of Puerto de Sawyer, con el plan de excelencia, which was a plan, it was involved the local government, main government, there were also many problems because you had to open the whole first line for so many months. They were working nearly 2 years. But now the result of it is so nice. But of course, you had to pass through those years. They were really bad. Some people think that it could be that we have too many people, but now it's easier and nicer for the kids, for the disabled to walk around. So I think we do the things the best we can, which is, it doesn't mean that we are doing the best, okay? So that's why it's nice to have meetings, coordinate, and have opinions from everyone.
As far as the hotels are concerned, the unusual one of the unusual features of the Port of Sawyer is that you do not have many chains. You're all individually, privately owned hotels. Is that correct?
Yeah. Most of us, 95%, are all family-owned hotels, which have been here for many years. We know, for example, my father's generation had their colleagues. I'm now working. Most of us are my generation, and we do the promotion also of Sawyer when we go to the fairs. And it's nice because we have all know each other for so many years. Of course, there is new blog coming in, some people buying or having a little bed and breakfast, a new hotel, and some new people coming. But most of us, we have known each other for many years because we are all from Sawyer. It's nice to have some new people coming in because people that are not from the hotel business and suddenly they become a part of the hotel business and they come from another business. It's so nice to have their inputs because they observe from the outside, and we don't have to forget about that. That sometimes we have to be out and look inside to see how can we make it better.
Well, I understand that the renovations for this next year will centre very much on the Santa Catalina area of the Port of Sawyer, which is in fact directly opposite where we're sitting right now. So in our perfect horseshoe bay, we follow the bay right round to the other side, and that is where the scruffy bits still remains, because it used to be full of military buildings, didn't it?
Yeah, well, at least that was another change, which costed a lot of years of negotiation.
Okay.
They give part of the military base to the town hall of Sawyer so they could use it as a parking and renovate it, and they keep the other half. But of course, we had to renovate it, their buildings, so they had a new residence area for themselves. But that part that you were saying, that they had to do these new buildings for the fishermen, and they have been negotiating with the government, I haven't seen the plan or the project with a timetable. I mean, the calendar is very important when we talk about the public administration. When the project is approved, and I know they will do it, but when they will start the work, when they will finish, these are the main problems of the public administration, because you never know with them. So we have to keep an eye on them for that. I mean, when do they start the work? When do they finish? Did they know about the season when it starts? I know it's important for the local fishermen to have it, and they have asked, and they are pushing them to see if they start right now. Okay, but it's something we have to be careful all the time.
So the lobbying of the Hotels Association is very, very important in this then. I mean, it's part of what gets things done.
Well, I think we have been always involved with the local town hall. You know that sometimes the government, the parties running the town hall, some of them are more helpful than other ones. It depends the way they see us. I mean, we are, I think, well seen here in Sawyer. In some resorts, some areas in Mallorca, the lobby of the hotels are kind of a devil, but I mean, they don't have a right image. Maybe because some of the areas are not destroyed, but they didn't preserve the places, or maybe they didn't know how they could preserve it by that time when they started to build the hotel, which is another thing. Nowadays, we all know, and nowadays we all work to preserve that. And that's why we just don't want that we have more hotels. I mean, normally the hotels are renovated, but not, they don't do new hotels, at least in that area. If they had in other town halls already permissions because of some years ago, and they still have their license, that is something they should run on that town hall. But here we are always involved. I think they ask us, or we are always coordinating in Palma. I mean, if the one, the Consejería de Turismo in Palma, which is the one in charge of the tourism in the whole Mallorca, talks with local Sawyer for something through the Federation, or they call us, or through the Federation in Palma, we are involved if it's something related with the tourism. It's true that sometimes they have journalists visiting and things, and they just don't know how to deal with that, and they try to look for somebody. And I mean, if they do it efficiently, we go with the journalists. We sometimes, when we have farm trips organized here, we go with them on the mountains. We walk with them. We show them around just to try to promote the off. I mean, not the high season, the low season and the mid season. Low season for us is February, maybe March, and then November, and maybe 1 week in October. That's our low season, because the other months, although we try, it's difficult to have the hotels open because of the rest. I mean, we are sitting here now, and to tell you the truth, this week, I've been calling the restaurants every day to just know which ones are open to tell and give the offer to my clients. And I just found two yesterday and two the other day. During the day, we have four at least open, but not at night. So when you are the only one opened, it's difficult. I know we have the Little Tram, which is a jewel here in Sawyer, and we have it, and it's something that they really like. The train is now on the maintenance work. So at the moment, till 1st of February, it's going to be not on. But Sawyer Village has also its life, and it's very nice. You have those modern inns, little walks that you could do. There is so much to see. So it helped us to have the village so near.
Yeah.
But at the port, it's nice to be by the sea. We're just 2 meters, 3 meters by the sea. But we are the only ones. 20 we have today. 20 degrees is such a nice day. Yeah. But we need the complimentary offer, the restaurants, the shops, to hold a little bit longer. Yeah. I always ask the town hall if they could do some promotion to try to activate that. But I know it's difficult for them because it's not part of their business. But sometimes I ask them, why don't you try to do a calendar of activities for next year, but try to organize it this year so we can start promoting for next year? And they said, oh, because sometimes we don't know the budget, but you have to have a provisionally budget for this, for that. I mean, it's difficult.
When we're coming back now to your, you're going to close down for a little holiday before you restart. But for you, what is your holiday at the Hotel Marina? Don't you go straight into refurbishments and
yes,
everything?
Of course. The day that we close, the next day, for example, we're going to have the dining room just upside down. There's a whole renovation there. And we have also to revise certain things on the whole, on the main building. There is always a big list of things that we have to do just for maintenance work. And then there is another list of renovation part. Okay. And there is always investment. Here, we have never done just, we do every year renovations. You can spend from 3,000 euros to 500,000 euros. I mean, we do it every winter time when we close. The 2 months, this year we're going to have 2 months because we reopen on the 3rd of February. Some other years we had 3 months.
I mean, I, over the last 20 years, have watched your hotel, and you have just grown and grown and grown. What else are you going to do? I mean, you have a rooftop spa, you have a back pool, you have a pool in the back, you have self-catering apartments that are all part of your life here. Where else can you go? What are you going to do?
Well, we'll go with the little areas, lounge areas for the guests, different ones. One for reading, one for just the spa may grow next year because they need an area just to lie and stay quiet, maybe not very near of the area where you have the sauna, the jacuzzi and everything. We have some yoga groups that have been asking to have their own area, so we are working on that, just to place it in a different area and not beside the spa. So I think the clients are the ones that are giving us the ideas and directions where to go.
And is there anything in your mind about recreating the ballroom days of your dad?
Well, it's difficult because he was el alma mater. He was the one that loved it. I mean, I'm not a party animal now, so I would like to have a quiet life. And anyway, it's true that we have live music in summer, but I think the live music is gonna lower down everywhere because of the we have the people, we start in early in the afternoon with the music and finishing around 11 or something like that, 11:30 someday, because more and more we have different type of guests, and we have seen on the past years that on the other side of the port they have different cafes and bars at the same time having live music, and that must be difficult to deal if you live nearby. So we have to check every year how the situation is, type of guests that we have. We don't have it all the time. Some of the guests we have at certain times of the year, they request that. And to tell you the truth, sometimes we have the whole pedestrianized promenade, people dancing all around, yeah, including my parents.
Yeah.
So it depends on which days, and once a week we had that type of music for them to enjoy, and it was really nice. And you have the grandchildren with the parents and the grandparents, and it's nice to have it. But you have to have a close place to do certain activities. So it's nice to have some music, part of the atmosphere, but the ones of the ballroom will have to be allocated in another place. Maybe we should celebrate a big party for the hotel.
But in those days, because in those days there was no tunnel and everyone that got here stayed because there wasn't so many cars to take you out, the entertainment level of Solia itself and also the port of Solia was a completely different experience, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was all in-house or in-town.
Exactly. No, I mean, everyone stayed in Solia, the youngs, the old ones. I mean, we all had two small discos at the port, but the bars and the hotels didn't have their own entertainment, as you said, because once you got here, after going through the mountain, you wanted to stay here if you were not completely dizzy. I remember going with the tourists on the buses on the mountain, and on all the curves, they were just shouting because the back of the bus were hanging on the road, you know, outside. But it was nice. I loved that road. I was working in Palma and living in Solia for many years, and I had to drive every morning that road, and it was amazing. But I remember too that in summer with the traffic, it was a little bit like a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, this has been an absolutely fascinating conversation this morning, and because you're representing the past, the present, and definitely the future. And I think that the future of the Port of Solia and its hotels and the Marina Hotel is very safe in your hands. Thank you for talking to Boat Radio today.
Thank you for you coming. It has been a pleasure. Thank you. Well, I don't know how we did it. Just...
Our aim at Street Invest is to put a trustworthy adult into the lives of street children, so that they can support them in creating the most positive paths for their lives in the future. We work around the world, working on the street with the children where they are. For such a large group of children, the amount of funding available is tiny. Really, the funding that keeps organisations like Street Invest going comes from individual donors. Street children are the most abused, neglected, violated children, yet they are also the most resourceful, responsive and resilient children that we could have the honour of working with.
For more information or to make a donation, visit streetinvest.org.